This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We love our college football.
And this is your opportunity to ask him about anything. Your team, the big stories in college football, like Notre Dame and Brian Kelly, Auburn, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State, and Stanford, USC over the weekend, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Dial the damn show. Got a genius to my right.
Hell yeah. Erudite. Erudite.
Everyday erudite. Bobby in Alabama kicks us off. What's up, it's Bobby? Here on CBS
What's
Sports
up,
Radio.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to comment on the Georgia-Notre Dame game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
He kind of sounded excited thinking that Notre Dame wouldn't have the same season, but what would make him think that?
Because they weren't blown out of this game, Bobby. They were right there. They lose by 1 point. I think this is a totally different football team than we witnessed a year ago. Last year, that was fool's gold. We thought they'd play well. You know, they lose the heartbreaker out the gate versus my Longhorns. We thought both of them would play well the rest of the season. That didn't transpire. So I think this team that he's fielding now, they're a much tougher team. They're a much more physical football team. They went up against a good Georgia defense, a fast Georgia defense. And if you look at all the comments after that ball game, that's what the Notre Dame players were talking about, how fast they were. They were extremely fast.
They got beat by a decent Georgia team at home with a backup quarterback and still couldn't pull off a victory.
You got a first-year quarterback in Brandon Wimbush for Notre Dame.
Well, that's true, but 2 weeks ago, Georgia had no plan to play in this kid.
Yeah.
Or Notre Dame did. They went in this whole offseason with a, you know, he's going to be their man. But Georgia, this was something. They've had a week to prepare this boy to go to Notre Dame and play at home, and they still beat him.
And you're shocked that they defeated him?
Well, no. I expected Georgia to win. But I was just wondering what would make Brian Kelly think that Notre Dame's not going to be the same as it was last year.
Well,
they didn't show me anything.
Right, but he's also not going to say that, though, Bobby. I mean, you think he's going to sit up there and go, you know what, you're right. We're going to fall off the cliff and have a terrible year, and I'm going to get fired. So, I mean, he was obviously emotional and uptight about that question and was annoyed by it. And she said, is it going to snowball? And that was when he said, no, it's not going to snowball. I mean, at that opportunity, he's going to say, yeah, you know, I was thinking this loss was so bad and we lost at home to Georgia. This thing's going to fall off the face of the earth just like it did last
year. Listen, you're going up against a defense that has 10 guys returning, and Kirby Smart made his name on the defensive side of the ball. Kirby Smart went up against Brian Kelly and his offense in the BCS title game back, I think it was 2012, whipped their ass all over the place down there in Miami. Wasn't even close. And when Smart was there at Alabama. And so now Brian Kelly knew what he was getting into. He knew what type of defense he was going to face. He's got a young redshirt freshman quarterback out there, and they still held their own, and they lose by 1 point. This is a different Notre Dame football team. They will not go in the tank. They were rebound from this loss. They went up against a damn good defense, and they still almost had a victory. And almost doesn't count. I understand that. But for everyone to think that Notre Dame is now going to just tank, I don't see that at all.
Well, they're definitely not going to lose next week, I don't think.
No.
Going to Boston College.
They shouldn't lose that ball game. It was in Miami of Ohio after that, I believe.
No, Michigan State in between.
Michigan State. And Michigan State's now 2-0. I thought Western Michigan would give them more problems than they did. Michigan State, I believe, won by 14 points in that ball game. So, yeah, they'll have revenge on their mind when they go and take on Michigan State here in 2 weeks. So I think this is a different football team. I think this is a team that's much, much more physical than they were a season ago, and you had the overhaul of the coaching staff. So I think Notre Dame will be fine. This is an overreaction. You lost to a good football team. Georgia's better than decent. Well, you thrust a freshman into the lineup in Jake Fromm, but from all accounts, this young man doesn't play like a freshman, doesn't carry himself like a freshman. That's why Georgia wasn't too worried about the quarterback position with him taking over.
Yeah, it's an overreaction maybe to us, but it's a natural reaction to a fan base that didn't want to see a loss like this at home early in the season after last year, and especially one that's got the pitchforks out for the coach right now. So it's understandable from their perspective. From our perspective, it might feel like a bit of an overreaction. College football phone calls, 855-212-4CBS. This is your opportunity to bounce something off of Brian Jones, a college football superstar. They pay him for his opinion on one of the big networks, on CBS.
Yeah.
So now's your time as lines are open. 855-212-4CBS. Nino in Baltimore joins us on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Nino?
What's going on?
Nino, what's up?
All right, here's the deal, Brian. I've been listening to Notre Dame for 55 years. I've been watching them closely. I'm a huge fan. I'm going to tell you about Brian Kelly. Good coach, absolutely. I agree with you. The Irish aren't going to tank, but he doesn't have it. Kelly does not have the it factor to bring Notre Dame back to a national champion prominence. He doesn't have it. Parsegian had it. Leahy had it. Devine had it. Holtz had it.
What is it?
Not have what
is it? He took him to a BCS title game. He didn't have it when
he did, but you know that was 4 years ago. That was,
right.
What, 2012?
I understand
how
that.
How many ranked teams has Notre Dame beat since 2012?
Not a lot.
You know, none. They haven't won beat a ranked team since 2012. So he's a good coach, I agree, but he doesn't have that factor that great coaches have to win the big one.
Okay.
He just doesn't have it. So I'm interested in your opinion on that.
We will see. I think the jury's still out. I think he's a damn good coach, and I think he's got a good team, and they will rebound from this. That's what I'm going on.
Yeah, it's really, really easy to say that a guy after a few years now of subpar Notre Dame football doesn't have it. But you couldn't tell me that there wasn't a Notre Dame fan that wasn't all over him leading up to that championship game against Alabama where they got walloped. But still, leading up to that game, I mean, that's exactly what you wanted. I mean, that team, that atmosphere, I was there on the sidelines for that Pitt game that went into a couple overtimes where they probably should have lost Notre Dame. But they didn't. I mean, it's what have you done for me lately? I can understand that. And the one thing I'll agree with on the last caller's point, not to generalize too much, but usually the best coaches in the game, the upper echelon coaches, don't have a season like last year that Brian Kelly
True.
Had.
I would agree with that. And it's interesting you say that because I was having a conversation about Texas as opposed to Oklahoma and Bob Stoops when he was there. And the worst season he ever had was an 8-5 season at Oklahoma. And where you've seen Texas 5-7, 6-7, even worse than that at times. That is so true. Yes.
855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Keith in Ohio next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Keith.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Keith. What do you got?
I just don't understand why Ohio State is not pounding the ball and running the ball. 1-2 punch. I mean, we got the best 1-2 punch, and we're not pounding the ball.
You got Dobbins, and you have JT Barrett, who can use his legs at the quarterback position, and that's a valid observation. Why aren't you trying to pound the rock and just lean on that? Because it's obvious that JT Barrett's not comfortable in this offense. And I think they're asking him to pass more. Well, you use the run to set up the pass, and they weren't able to do any of that the other night. And Oklahoma just has a defense that a lot of us were not really sure of, and they showed up and showed out and put a lot of pressure, especially those big boys up front. Number 31, I'm not even going to attempt to say his name, defensive end for Oklahoma, because he was phenomenal. As much as we were singing the praises of Ohio State's defense, it was the Oklahoma defense that played lights out. So, yeah, I would lean on Dobbins. I'd lean on Weber, and they tried to do that. But once you get behind in the manner in which they did, you have to start chunking the ball down the field. So starting the game out, yeah, that's our game plan. We want to lean on the running game. Weber, Dobbins, we're going to get you guys combined at least 30, 40 carries. That can be your mindset, but all things can change once you get into the heat of the battle.
Even with being down, and this is, let's see. Yeah, even with being down in this game, Ohio State only had three fewer rushing attempts than Oklahoma did. And they had 5 yards per rush, and Oklahoma only had 2.8.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be skewed late in the game. Things can change with those numbers. They don't tell the whole story, but it's not as if you look at rushing attempts and they, I mean, we're talking about 15 times they tried to run the football. I mean, they were down in this game, had to throw the ball at the end, and they were still only three fewer than the team that was trying to hold on to the lead. So I don't know if maybe it's more of an effective run game that you're looking for as opposed to more opportunities with the run game.
And also, can you convert on third down? That's a key stat. That's what I always look at. Are you getting off the field? Now, Oklahoma was 4 of 11 on third down, and Ohio State was 7 of 15. So they were converting, you know, almost 50% there, which is damn good. But the turnovers hurt them, of course. And Oklahoma, just was able to overcome their turnovers, whereas Ohio State wasn't.
Yeah, 183 yards through the air as opposed to 167 on the ground for Ohio State. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that might have just been a perception thing for our last caller.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was really the issue. Let's go to Nathan in Portland on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What you got, man?
Well, I was kind of curious because I spent all Saturday kind of watching a lot of Pac-12 games, and I was really excited for that Stanford-USC game because I was wondering whether or not, like, the ESPN was talking about whether or not was going to be good. But I was really impressed by that defense. I'm wondering, do you guys think that maybe USC looking as well as they showed up against Stanford, like they could have a legitimate shot of competing with a team like Alabama?
We will see. And I don't think Alabama, at least not as we sit here today, has the dominant defense they've had in the past. Clemson clearly has the best defense on the planet right now. But that's right now. That can change 2 weeks into the season. But SC, go back to last week, Western Michigan. Remember, their stud at linebacker, Cameron Smith, he sat out the first half of that ball game because he was penalized in the Rose Bowl a year ago. And so he had to sit out the first half of the first game this year. They inserted him into the lineup in that second half in a total. Look to that defense. They really, in that fourth quarter, shut down Western Michigan, at least their running game. They still gave up over 200 yards rushing in that ball game, but in that fourth quarter in particular, not much to really hang their hat on there for Western Michigan. So I wasn't surprised with the defense. Bryce Love had some big plays in that ball game. He's going to be more than capable of taking over for Christian McCaffrey, and we've seen that in the first two ball games. But the defense locked down on the run game. They forced Kelly Chris to make some plays, which he couldn't make, and I think we all expected Sam Darnold to bounce back. He needed some receivers to step up. They had drops in that first ball game. He didn't have any touchdown passes, of course, but in this ball game, Ronald Jones still did his thing, and you got some receivers to make some excellent catches for Sam Darnold. They look like a totally different offense, much, much more fluid offense in this ball game. Big win for USC versus Stanford. They lost their last three to him.
And you can just see Sam Darnold before your eyes maturing and turning into that great quarterback. We all know how much talent he had. We watched him in the Rose Bowl, everything that he did. But still, there's some growing pains because he's young and doesn't have a ton of experience. I love the way the ball comes out of his hand. I mean, it's high. It never looks like it's going to be batted down. He's got a clear path to a receiver. His accuracy when he is on is off the charts. He did have the two interceptions, but four touchdowns. Both him and Rosen, it's hard to pick which one of those guys you like better after what you've seen the first couple of weeks. But I tell you, there's going to be some NFL teams that are going to get some guys that are just prototypically great. Now, does that pan out all the time? No. But watching those guys and being as big of an NFL fan as I am, it gets me excited for what they can do.
Well, USC was able to match that physical nature of Stanford. And that's the most points or the most yards. I think 620 yards they gave up. The most yards Stanford, a David Shaw-led Stanford team, has ever allowed.
623.
Yeah, USC knew it was going to be a physical affair, and they were able to match that. And while Darnold did have the two interceptions, he also had the four touchdowns.
go to Cecil in Pennsylvania on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Cecil?
I want to know, do Penn State got a shot at making it to the playoffs, and do they got a shot at taking it this year?
Well, I want to know that they do, and they do. Yeah, Cecil, they do have a shot at making it. I have them in my playoff team. That doesn't say a lot because I jinx a whole bunch of teams, it seems like, each and every year. I have Auburn in there as well, so go figure, and Florida State. But I like this Penn State team, and yes, they have a shot. The way they run the ball, they have a proven commodity at quarterback in Trace McSorley. They have some receivers. This Saeed Blacknall, look for him to do some great things as the season continues to progress. And Gesicki, two touchdowns again at tight end. And this guy, going back, I believe it's now his last five ball games, he has seven touchdowns. Catches. They have everything you want on the offensive side of the ball, a veteran offensive line, defense. We'll see if they can hold up. Secondary was a big question mark. But offensively, yeah, they have everything you want.
And how about James Franklin after this game where he goes, this is just another win for us. I know last year when they beat us, it was like they won the Super Bowl. For us, it's just like beating Akron. So that was
it.
Major insults thrown Pitt's way. Now, He's allowed to do that now, and I like it because it's a rivalry. It's a rivalry that should never go away. But that Pitt loss kept them out of the playoff last year.
Yeah.
It did. So I mean, that's a lot bigger loss to Penn State than this loss will be to Pitt. But, of course, Penn State, they're trying to do more, or will be going after more than Pitt will ever be going after probably for the rest of time.
Well, at least this year. No.
They can't win there, man. They can't.
Why can't they win there? And I love they brought out the old school unis, man. That was
Pitt's grip with the white and the yellow helmets.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just don't. I don't think
you don't believe in Narduzzi?
I think unless Nick Saban goes there, I don't think that there's – I just don't think they can win there. There's just a lot of factors. They don't. I like Narduzzi. I like Paul Chryst. I even like the Todd Graham hire when it happened.
I think he can win there.
It's a stepping stone program.
No way.
It is. It's what it's become.
Pitt is a destination.
Not
man.
Anymore, man.
It
maybe,
will be.
Maybe back when you were 15 years old.
Narduzzi is not going anywhere. He
okay,
will be.
What are
there.
They going to do this year?
They're not going to have a great team this year.
Right. Exactly.
But this is 1 year. This is just 1 year. That's fine. You have those type of seasons. I think they'll still be a bowl team. I think they can be that. And
that's
so,
all they're ever going to be.
Oh, no. We'll see. Is this, what, second year at the helm?
No, it's
third year.
Yeah.
It'll be all right. I like Narduzzi. I think he's a man. I think he will stay there for a long, long
time. Not saying he's not a great coach, but it's very, very difficult to win there. Eric in South Carolina, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Eric?
What's going on, guys?
Hey,
just a couple things. First, Pitt also beat my national champs last year, so that would have been their Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's true.
That Clemson win was a big one. That's probably the best year Pitt's going to have in the next 50.
Probably.
You're so down, Pitt.
I wanted to get, after Clemson's defensive performance this weekend, I wanted to get Jones's opinion of what they think they're going to do against Lamar Jackson this coming weekend.
Man, a huge ball game, and they have to go there to Louisville to take on Lamar, who was Lamarvelous again. Everyone knows. That is not bull. He over 1,000 yards, first two ball games, just like he did a season ago. And I think Clemson will roll because Louisville's defense, they're suspect. And you let Brandon Harris throw touchdowns on you, you're really suspect. Former LSU quarterback who's now at UNC. So I think they will be able to bottle up Lamar Jackson. He played well against them last year there at Clemson. But I don't see that happening versus this defense. No, I think they bottle him up, and Clemson wins the ball game.
Yeah, that Louisville defense, I mean, last year they were so good for most of the year, and they still have a ton of athletes in watching them. They're quick as all hell. They just haven't put it together yet. And I want to know why no one wants to talk about Lamar Jackson for a repeat Heisman. It seems like everybody is talking about somebody else, maybe because he was last year's news or whatever. The stuff he's done the first 2 weeks, I think he's the first quarterback in history to have back-to-back 300-yard passing days and 100-yard rushes to start a season ever. So, I mean, maybe it's they're waiting for
the
clip.
I think there's one other that has done it. There is. Chase Clements from Rice. Of all places.
Geez.
Yes. Rice.
Oh, my goodness. When did that
Chase
happen?
Chase Clement.
Did that happen in, 1943?
No. Chase played fairly recently. early mid 2000s, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The guy's unbelievable.
Lamar is the second to do it. Chase was the first.
He's more accurate this year in some of the throws I've been seeing. He's not running right away when plays break down. He's waiting. He's eluding rushers as opposed to running away from them.
Right.
Clemson's a better team. They're going to win the game, in my opinion. But I don't think that Lamar Jackson's getting as much attention. I think it's old news.
One, because it's difficult to repeat. And secondly, the way they finished the season last year. They lost their last three ball games, and in that bowl game, LSU swarmed him. He looked lost. That offense looked lost. And it appeared that teams had figured out this Louisville offense. So this would be their first big test this year. If he goes off in this ball game, he's definitely going to be the front runner for the Heisman.
All right, last call, everybody. I'm sorry, but this is the last one. So if you're on the line, we can't get to you. I apologize. So this is the last one. We've already gone 5 minutes over. So I know everybody's dying to get to talk to the genius. Taylor in Portland on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Taylor?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good morning.
All right. Well, I about had a heart attack in that second half against Nebraska.
You should have.
I'm telling you, it's terrible. What do you guys think? Because at first, you know, you see a 77 points hung up on a nobody team, and then you see 42 hung up in the first half against Nebraska. You think, okay, Oregon might be back. Is it going to be more of the same under Willie, or are we actually looking at a change here?
Well, the offense is there, Taylor, and you just mentioned it. Bob Diaco, the former Notre Dame defense coordinator, UConn head coach, didn't go so well for him. He's now the DC there at Nebraska, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing, his defense giving up that many points, especially in the first half. But in the second half, they shut him down. And I was surprised that Jim Levitt's defense, the new defensive coordinator for Oregon, gave up as many points as they did in the second half, allowing Nebraska to get back into that ball game. Offensively, they're going to be fine. Herbert at quarterback, Royce Freeman, the running back position. Defensively, that's still a work in progress, but I think Oregon is going to be okay. They'll learn from this. That was a big comeback mounted by Nebraska, and if Tanner Lee doesn't throw that interception there, who knows what happens in that ball game? Possibly they tie it up, Nebraska ties it up, and you go into overtime, but I think this defense, still a work in progress. Give it time. But you've always had offense. You will continue to have that. But you get two wins, beginning of the season, a new coaching staff. You can build from this. And let's see how Oregon plays moving forward, especially defensively. That's been their problem issue for the last 3-4 years, and I think Levitt can right the ship.
And coaches get blamed for everything in football, and a lot of the times it is their fault, but there are times where it's not. In a situation where we're up 42-14 at half, I do put that on the coaching a little bit.
That's on the coaching, and then it's similar to what happened to A&M at UCLA a week ago, when you're up 44-10 and you have 3 minutes left in the third quarter. And the players, though, what can happen? You get up that big, you relax. You relax. Now you got to go and somehow try to rev your engines again, and that's difficult to do. You've been so pumped up, you're kicking the team's butt, and you think you can, okay, we can just coast. When you can't, and now you're trying to reignite that same excitement, that same fervor with which you played with in the first half and early in the second half, and yet it's just, you're just misfiring.
Coming up next, we got an Andrew Bogish update. By the way, we'll do this once a week where we just focus on your college football phone calls with Brian, 855-212-4CBS. We've got some more NFL football to get into, including a rough debut for Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they do hold on against the Browns. We're coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
I saw a stat that with the win yesterday, Ben Roethlisberger has more wins in Cleveland than any single Browns quarterback since they came back to Cleveland in 1999. That number is 11. That sums up the ineptitude of that franchise since they have come back. Andrew Bogish is here with an update. What's going on, Bogish?
Guys, somewhat luckily for the Giants, the Cowboy offense didn't do enough of this on Sunday Night Football in Dallas.
Elliott to the left of Prescott, who's in the gun. And a play fake and a slant to the post to Whitten. Into the end zone, touchdown.
Brad Sham on our 105 through the Fan in Dallas. Jason Witten's second quarter TD catch. The only time the Cowboys got into the end zone last night. They kicked 4 field goals to theoretically keep the Giants around. before winning 19-3. The New York offense had just 49 yards and 2 first downs in the first half. Eli Manning was sacked 3 times. Odell Beckham Jr. did not play because of his bad ankle. Ezekiel Elliott did play, ran for 104 yards, and Witten passed Michael Irvin for the franchise lead in receiving yards.
This organization has set that record and passed Michael. I just have so much respect for the great players that have played for this organization.
There was some bad news for the Cowboys. Corner Orlando Scandrick broke his left hand, will have surgery today, but wants to play this Sunday.
Yeah, you can play with that.
In Denver, Cardinals running back David Johnson may have suffered only a sprained wrist in a 35-23 loss in Detroit, but he's an MRI today. And Jaguars wideout Allen Robinson tore an ACL in a 29-7 win in Houston. That damn ginger, Andy Dalton, at it again in Cincinnati.
A swing and a drive!
That's the wrong highlight.
Come on!
It's supposed to be Andy Dalton.
I was going to say, is that where he was yesterday?
No, he might as well have been.
He wasn't playing football.
4 picks, a fumble, and a 20-0 loss to the Ravens. Let's hope this is Dalton talking.
I didn't give us a chance to win this game. I didn't give us a chance to, to score the points that we needed to win. And so... It starts with me.
All right, so we go 1-for-2 in the Bengals package. Again, the Ravens won 20-0. First week one shutout for Cincy since 79. The Packers got by the Seahawks 17-9. Oakland a 26-16 win in Tennessee. The Falcons escaping Chicago 23-17. Philly got its first win in Washington since 2013, 30-17. And the Rams smoked Scott Tolzien and the Colts 46-9. The LAD returned 2 picks for touchdowns and had a safety. Tonight, the Vikings host the Saints and the Broncos host the Chargers. And let's actually listen to this for now.
A swing and a drive to deep right. Away back. Gone. Back to back jacks. Perez and now Lindor.
And Francisco Lindor hitting his with a teammate's bat because he broke 2 of his own earlier in the at-bat. Chicago, Cleveland taking a 3-2 win over Baltimore. They've won 18 straight games. They've only trailed in 4 innings out of 162 in that streak.
They're never losing again.
The Dodgers dropped their 10th straight 8-1 to the Rockies, who remain 3 games ahead of the Brewers and Cardinals for the second NL wild card. The Nats clinched the NL East with a 3-2 victory over the Phillies and Miami's 10-8 loss in 11 in Atlanta. And Rafael Nadal won the U.S. Open for the 3rd time in straight sets over Kevin Anderson. It is his 2nd major this year, 16th of his career. Boys?
You know, with Scandrick hurt for the Cowboys, who had a big game for them last night?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Kenobi Awuzie!
Yeah.
Awuzie!
How about him making a major impact?
Shadoube
Awuzie!
How about some Cowboys?
Yeah! Drew Pearson!
I will never forget that name.
Thank you!
And when he was out there last night, I was thinking, all right, he's a rookie, but I really... Oh, that's why I recognize him that much.
Shadoube Awuzie!
Ew!
Oh,
what authority.
You have that Drew Pearson draft pick. Was.
Thank you, Philadelphia, for making my career a success.
Definitely tremendous.
That's the best ever.
I want to thank the Eagle fans for allowing me to have a career in the NFL. Thank you.
That was tough. Still holds to this day. Back to the Steelers and the Browns for a minute, because this was an interesting game from a couple angles. One, Le'Veon Bell was not Le'Veon Bell, and I expect him to round back into shape, but it wasn't there, and he did not look good. The Steelers didn't incorporate him as much. Antonio Brown, as we mentioned earlier, saved the day. But from the Browns' standpoint, yeah, Bell wasn't Bell, but still only 21 points. Given up to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they were right there. It was 21-18. DeShone Kizer looked a hell of a lot better than I expected
after
him
being
to.
Sacked 7 times and hit repeatedly.
Right, you'd think that he'd totally fold up.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the way we judge the Browns is totally different than anywhere else. I mean, if they do anything just remotely good, you're thinking, oh, wow, good for them, a little pat on the back.
But they tied their shoes right. Okay, good.
But it's true. It's funny. I think that everybody kind of feels bad for how bad they've been. You know, a team like the Colts, right, they had a little bit of success, and now they're terrible, and we're going to make fun of them. Okay. You know, Blake Bortles in Jacksonville, you know, we'll make fun of that, even though I had a big day yesterday. But, I mean, with the Browns, it's like you're just waiting. It's like almost winter into spring. You're looking for something there, like a little flower popping out of the ground.
That groundhog, he comes out and says how much longer winter will last and all that.
Yeah.
What's his name? What is that? Pusatula or something?
Well, no, keep guessing because this is going to be fun.
Pustacula?
Pustacula who?
Papa? No.
It's Pustacula and then it's a name afterwards.
Not Pocahontas.
Pustacula Pocahontas. Yes, you got it.
You liar.
You got it.
Is not it.
That's a great job. How did you remember Pustacula Pocahontas?
Somebody tweet you.
Every Groundhog Day, Pustacula Pocahontas comes out. And
with a papoose.
It's Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney. I was close. Punxsutawney Phil.
Pustacula. Pocahontas.
Oh, you know how to spell it. Anyway, you're right. You think there's some green shoots, and then they just wilt.
Well, I think this was a decent performance for them.
They got after that Steeler offensive line.
Yeah.
They really applied some pressure to them, and everyone's upset with Roethlisberger and the offensive play calling. So, well, give Cleveland's defensive line some credit, but that boy T.J. Watt, whoo!
Yeah, it looked good.
He went off.
He looked really good.
And that, 2 sacks and an interception or something?
Did you happen to catch that this was not as high profile as the Lane ejection because he wasn't ejected, mm-hmm. but did you see the William Gay hit that ended up being a 15-yard penalty where he didn't go helmet to helmet on the guy, but he did go with his arms out and his head down into the chest of the receiver. And it's an interesting one. If you find it, take a look at it because I want to get your opinion on it. But it ended up being a big deal during the game.
They had a lot of penalties, did the Steelers. 14 penalties, something like that.
And they're just not good on the road. They've never been good on the road under Mike Tomlin. Yeah, well, I mean, yes. But even these games against Cleveland, sometimes they're nail biters for them. You know, and Mike Tomlin, I heard Mike Tomlin do his whole thing. You know, AFC North road action, where come up here, get a victory. You know, we got some things to correct, but it's easier with the victory in your back pocket. The situation is clear with the football in the inside of the pigskin like monstrosity. So he ended up saying that, but still they got to get better. They just not been on the road and at home, or just they're just two different guys. He's just a totally different.
And let's not lose sight of the fact: first game, and you didn't play that much in the preseason, and so they will get better. But as Coach said, with that win in your pocket, you go back home and you work on the things you need to work on. But you got a win in your pocket. They weren't partial participants.
No, they weren't. Coming up next, some pregame show fun. On CBS, one Brian was involved in. We'll play you a little bit of that. We're coming right back.
Keep up with the latest on the show on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So, pregame shows happen everywhere these days, and we're highly interested in them here because Brian Jones is on one on CBS on Saturdays. It'll lead you right up to the SEC Game of the Week on CBS. It's Brian Jones, it's Rick Neuheisel, and it's Adam Zucker. And since Rick has joined the team, he does a couple songs a year. Mm-hmm. And to open up the season, he's got to have his songs. It's a preview song. And Rick did his song. It's just Rick Neuheisel and his guitar, and he's singing. And for whatever reason, maybe to make sure you guys don't feel left out, they got to get Zucker and Brian involved. So they have to stand there, and they've got to sing some of the lyrics. Huh. So another thing that I noticed about this song is he had to get every FBS team in the nation involved in
no,
this deal.
No, every SEC team.
It was close. It was close to everybody. I think it might have been everybody. So here's a little bit of this, and you got to listen for Brian. He's got a part. He's like a backup singer, but you got to listen for Brian. So this is the song we were referencing earlier.
The college football.
It's the time of the season when we lose all reason, because there's nothing more pleasing than our college football. It was a hot one in Atlanta. Nothing's changed for Bama. Their defense still dismantles, makes it a southern fried brawl. The college football.
It's a college football.
We love our college football.
Look.
We wait all year just to scream and cheer. We love our college football. There's a ton of new bosses trying to keep down the losses. And to get that done, they'll have to find some stud hosses. Tom Herman's job is hairy. Lincoln Riley's job is cherry. And Big Coach 12. O down in the bayou's
Don't
got a
me.
New vocabulary.
Well, there he is. Great stop it, Pete.
Oh, you're right. He did get those other guys in there. Yeah. I thought it was just SEC.
No, it was every team that's ever played football ever.
That shows how much attention I was paying.
Oh, they got to high school by the end. He was like, the Dunbar Panthers.
Oh, yes.
So. Oh, Ryan, Ryan. That was awesome, man.
That was my insertion point.
Your insertion point was right there, huh?
With Coach O, yeah. The visual's much better. Yes.
Is it?
Yeah, oh, yes.
No, I don't know.
Are you left college?
Adam Zucker got a text from his kids. Daddy, what was that you were doing?
Yeah,
right. It's his dance moves. Right?
Whatever yeah. they tell me, honey. You want to go to college, right? is this drilling going over the air, by the way? Because this is the loudest it's ever been.
Yeah.
I hope that the listeners don't hear. There's been massive construction here.
It's really bothering me.
At CBS Radio. No, it never bothers me because I never hear it. But today I could hear it prominently.
Yeah, it was very noticeable just now.
Yeah. So, well, if you hear that in the background, we apologize. There's nothing we could do about it. We're just going to continue to do the show. Because it's college football.
Down in the bayou's got a new vocabulary. That means he loves football.
Oh, does it?
He may sound like jambalaya, but you love it, don't deny it.
Oh, you did it again.
Here we go, boys.
Here
it's time to gator chomp. It's time to dot the I. Who's going to fight on? Who's going to roll tide? Who's the tiger bait? We are Penn State. We can't wait to have a dang good time. We love college football.
Oh, look at you guys.
We love college football. There are those who'll inquire whose tails are on fire. No one wants to be retired without giving up a fight.
All right, we played the first 10% of this song. Bogus came running into the studio, and Bogus knows radio. He knows our show. So if he comes running into the studio, it is important.
Something's happened.
Yes.
Well, I have to get used to the fact that the way our new newsroom is set up, that I'm not listening to you guys live anymore. I'm on a little bit of a delay, but I heard you mention the construction noise.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear Neuhauser live on Saturday. Oh, good. I can hear it now. And this is what I get. I mean, there's just mayhem going on out there right now.
Yeah, you can't hear anything in the newsroom, right?
No, I mean, and it's in the room.
Yeah, open up the door again, Bogus. Hold on.
Stand by.
Hold on.
Get my mic closer.
Shut the door.
Bogus, you come in here and interrupt my y'all.
I'm sorry.
For that?
Well, I did leave at first because you were shimmying or something, and I didn't want to say that in person, but then Mike said to go in.
Because we don't like construction. That's college football.
Spencer, tell him we got out at the right time.
There we go, boys.
I don't know what he's doing now. But it's better than that.
I don't know what they're trying to do to me over there at CBS. But I think they're trying to make me white, man.
You know what I decided?
I think they are.
Shut the door!
That's Brian's white construction.
All of a sudden, Sammy Sosa has got a partner.
I'm going to have to come up with a rap or something. I can sing
seriously.
On the show.
Yeah.
I mean, we gotta balance this out.
Right. You got to gangster rap with Brian Jones.
About your dog being killed in
Alabama
your front yard as a kid.
Do a drive-by on your ass.
I got a feeling they're probably not going to like that at CBS. It's just a guess. Just a guess. We're
going to shank them this Saturday.
You know, I could play the guitar, so I decided to write a song
to Rick Neuheisel telling him to stop singing songs. That's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to bring in the guitar. I'm going to write a song to Rick like he does about college football. But my song's going to be about Rick playing the guitar and how he needs to stop because it's killing my partner.
College football.
I mean, how long do we have a time on the song?
It was pretty long.
It was long.
2:53.
2:53
on 2 hours?
Yes.
I could have been breaking down matchups with that time, man. 2:53.
On a half-hour pregame show.
That was an hour.
It was an hour. This All right, so an hour pregame show.
It had to be an hour.
Still, right, but still, 2:53 when you're trying to jam. That's a long time on live TV.
Yep. I would agree. Hey, that's what they want, man. No, they want more.
More songs.
We'll give it to them.
More songs.
I think I got that down.
Here we go, boys.
Here we go, dog.
Yeah. All right, keep playing.
I did get a yee-haw in there at the end.
Oh, did you? It's good. Come on, Pete. Pick it up from where we left off. I can't get any more.
Football. We love our college football.
Ready, boys?
Yes.
Who's screaming go, dogs? Yeah. Who's wearing maize and blue? We love the war chant.
Team player.
All about the U. It's time to call the hogs. How about them horn frogs? We can't wait to have a dang good time. We love college football.
Where were you there?
We love college football.
Come on, it's all Zucker.
We need an A clap. We need to bear down. Boomer Sooner. Let's watch the jump around. Let's sing a Rocky Top. Let's never let it stop. Yeah,
never
the
let
summer's
it stop,
turning
right.
into fall. We love college football.
Oh, there you're back. Good, man, you're back.
We love our college football. Can't wait for college football.
Dude, you got to kneel or raise a fist or something the next time in the song, please.
Tulane.
Take a knee, man.
You got it. State Farm College Football today on CBS.
I'm going to take a knee. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Fist in the air.
With one glove.
That would be awesome.
Because Brian's protesting.
Jeezy, come on, somebody. Yeah. Little Uzi Vert, somebody wrap me around.
You need to. I can do that for you, too, if you want. I'll write a rap for you.
Write a rap, man. Come on, we got to balance this thing
out.
We
should hire Bugatti Casino.
Yes.
To write a rap battle against Rick Neuheisel.
There you go.
And Rick will come back with a song. Oh, yeah, Bugatti Casino. I'm coming for you.
Oh, the pain of it all, as they say.
Oh, man. Hard work if you can find it. I found it.
All right. Eric Coleman's going to join us next.
Cool.
You know what he loves?
College football.
Gio and Jones come right back. CBS Sports Radio.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.